You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Join us as we remember a member of our church family.
O Lord, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And I pray that this service will honor Ed's memory and bring comfort to all of us here. We humbly ask you to look down upon our grieving hearts and to be gracious to us. Help us, Lord, to cast every care upon you, and through your mercy and grace find comfort and peace. And we ask all of these things in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 23 has been a favorite scripture passage of many people, and it was a favorite scripture passage for Ed, and it has brought comfort to grieving men and women for millennia. For in it, God is described as a shepherd, and a shepherd would faithfully provide for the needs of his sheep. He would gently care for them and protect them. And likewise, then, secure in God's care, we can release our heavy burdens and rest in his peace. David tells us, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Well, we'd like to take some time now to reflect on Ed, on his life. Who was he? What kind of a person was he? What were his passions and his interests? Now, in just a few minutes, I'll give anyone who would like to speak an opportunity to do so. But first, Ed's obituary tells us this. It says, "Edward Randy Magoon, age 65, of McHenry, Illinois, passed away on Sunday, July 15th, 2018. He was born on November 26th, 1952, in Evanston, Illinois, the son of Edward and Sylvia Haas Magoon. He was a graduate of Maine East High School. He worked as a self-employed carpenter for many years. He was dedicated to his family, a beloved husband and father, and he enjoyed motorcycles and the biker lifestyle. He is survived by his wife, Marla Magoon, his son, Scott, along with Valerie Johnson, daughters, Ashley Powell and Casey Magoon, brother, Patrick, along with Beth Magoon, three grandchildren, and several nieces and nephews. He was preceded in death by his parents and sister, Joyce Kammer. Now, I knew Ed a little bit. I had met him on a couple of different occasions, so I knew a little bit about him from those times. But in speaking with his family, I learned some more things, some very interesting things, in fact, about him. But I'll leave those things for his family to discuss. He was self-employed, and he worked very hard in his own way in doing things. He was a good carpenter, and he built their home in Johnsburg. He had some good things in his life, but his daughter Ashley told me that he was the most unlucky Irishman ever. And I know of at least two house fires, but I know there were some other things then too. I'm also told that Ed had very little concept of time, that he was late for everything. You know, Einstein proved that time is relative, but apparently it was even more relative for Ed. And if you needed to be somewhere at a certain time, then you had better tell him that it was an hour earlier than the actual time, and then maybe you'd be on time for it then. And heaven help you in the event that the event in question was a graduation ceremony. You know, the family sometimes joked that he would be late for his own funeral. Well, apparently he tried to be late today. Marla told me that when they woke up this morning, the electricity had gone off and all of the clocks in the house were wrong. But that effort was defeated, and not only was he on time, he was actually a little bit early here today. So that may be a first then. Also told that he always had a video camera, whether it was Christmas or birthdays or other special events. Unfortunately, though, he didn't always manage to turn the camera off when recording. I'm told that Marla has some fabulous, nausea-inducing footage of them walking around Sturgis as the camera shows first their feet, and then the sky, and then the ground, and then the sky again, and so on and so on. He was an easygoing person. He was kind of laid back. He was non-judgmental. He was also someone who did not want others to worry about things, that he wanted to bear the burden for you. But the most important thing about him, though, was his love for his family. He was dedicated, and he always made sure that the family had what they needed. Now, I'm going to speak in a little bit about that theme of love that was so important to him. But first, let's reflect on this legacy, then, that he leaves behind. He leaves a legacy of love, a legacy of love for his family. And his passing has left a deep hole in our hearts, and he will be greatly missed. I'd like to take this moment then to offer, if anyone else would like to speak and share some thoughts and reflections on Ed, on how you will remember him, I'd like to offer that opportunity then now.
My father, he was so very special to me, and left us far too soon. There was so much more in this life that he had plans for, and so much more I could have learned from him. My father was the hardest working person I've ever known, and too hard at times. Perhaps not in the most traditional sense where he gave 40 plus hours a week to an organization, but he found other ways to work hard. He spent his days building things, rehabbing cars, and working on other projects. He was a man of a million projects, seldom that he ever finished. But he worked his whole life to live the dream he always wanted, and he almost had. Dad was an easygoing man. He lived as simply as he could have with an optimistic outlook. Usually dressed in a simple black t-shirt and jeans, he kept to himself as a quiet and humble man. He was so quiet that most of the time I couldn't hear what he was saying. Half of the time it was because of his soft-spoken words, and the other half was due to his mumbling. You know the joke that goes around where you ask someone to repeat themselves a few times and you still don't understand what he was saying, so you just nod your head and go along with it and feel awkward because it was really a question that you were asked. That was a frequent occurrence with Dad and me. And I will truly miss those types of conversations. If you passed my dad in public, he would grin at you with his silly little grin just because that's what he did, and he would just continue on his merry little way. He was a genuine man, honest and never judgmental. He is the only person I can truly say I knew who had the kindest soul. Not only to people, but he had the biggest heart when it came to animals, even those that we consider wild and stray. He left behind a few of his fur babies who probably hurt more than we do because they have no real concept of what's happened. Growing up, I remember raccoons, possums, and even a fawn that were considered as pets one time. Yes, they did stay outside mostly, but they were still his pets. Dad did anything he could to give to his family, and not only did we have everything we needed, he tried his damnedest to fulfill our wants. Christmas was always a big thing with us growing up, and the Christmas of 2001, I really had hoped to see a new car in the driveway. And when I looked out the window, I was really upset that I didn't see that. Little did I know that the last gift I was about to open was a booklet from the Chevy dealership for a brand new Cavalier. He had put down the down payment on it for me, and it was sitting at the dealership ready for us to pick up. And I felt like a brat for being disappointed that I didn't get what I wanted when I wanted it. That Christmas, Mom and Casey ended up with horses, as they had wanted one day. Dad always went out of his way to make Christmas as special as he could for us. And if you looked at some of the photos and wondered where that blow-up doll came from, that was the best Christmas we gave Dad. Casey and I asked him, "What do you want for Christmas, Dad?" And in a redneck type way, "I want to see something naked and I want a beer." So we bought him a blow-up doll and taped a can of beer to her hand and surprised him with it. And the smile on his face was the biggest smile I've ever seen. Dad was always there when you needed him, no matter if it were in the middle of the day or middle of the night. One time I had to call him to meet me in the ER because I had a little too much to drink for celebrating New Year's Eve. And I had fallen and needed stitches in my lip, but it only ended up being 2 stitches. But the amount of blood that came out, it looked a little scary. So I needed my dad and called him, and he met me at the hospital. A week later, he wanted to make sure that I would stay safe at all times. So for my birthday, he gifted me a helmet with a label on it that had, "If found, please call," and it had his cell phone number on it. Included in that box was a colorful box of Band-Aids and some crayons. He always stopped by my apartment and left me soup or emergency when I wasn't feeling well. He came to the rescue at least 2 times when I ran out of gas, and now I have a gas can in my car that he gave me after that last time. If at first he didn't know how to help, he always found a way. I'll always think of him when I smell the scent of Irish Spring, Ivory Soap, and the Brute cologne that we all know Dad loved for many years. I will miss the glimmer he always had in his eyes, his mumbling words and laughs at our jokes. I'll miss the way he would twirl at his beard when he was deep in thought, and his MacGyver skills he used to fix everything. Most of all, I will miss our visits, the hugs we shared, and knowing I will always have someone to depend on. One time we had a heart-to-heart about something I did that pained him so much at one time, and I was having a hard time forgiving myself, even though he had forgiven me long before, because again, he was a kind person and a kind soul. That time he shared a quote by Eric Segal that I will never forget, and I hope everyone remembers this as well. "Love means never having to say you're sorry." I love you, Dad. I hope to continue to make you proud. I know you are with me, Casey and Mom, and you will always be forever in my heart.
I will try to hold my composure as well as she did. I make no promises. So I am my father's daughter. I've been saying that a lot lately. Coming from me constantly being behind the camera, to even being a MacGyver. We had some visitors come over the other day, or the other week. Wanted to make sure that we didn't get pelted in the heads with acorns. So in Dad's fashion, I MacGyvered. Put a tarp up above us. Some random fashion made it stick up onto the rail with some tape and crutches, yes.
It worked.
It did work. Nobody got pelted in the head, and we all stayed out of the sun. Even down to the point of we procrastinate. I think it kind of runs in the Magoon family, but even with the speech, I was writing it this morning. Back when I was in high school, I used to write down quotes that I loved. One of them was, "Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened." I know that's what he would have wanted. Sorry, Dad. You get the tears, too. Like my sister said, he always was a family man and tried to provide us with everything we ever wanted. Definitely everything we needed. He was always there when we needed him. It was just a phone call away. I could be broke down 2 hours away in my car, and he would come to get me. He always wanted to make sure what we had, or we had what we wanted. Every year, I was a fish out of water, I called it. Every year for my birthday, he would have the pool open. And if not, it'd at least be open by the time my birthday party came. True. Granted, half my friends didn't want to go in because it was freezing. The one thing he really wanted us to know, especially me and Ashley, so he was proud of us. He was truly proud of us and wanted us to be better than he was. Wanted us to be better off. We are. He provided that for us. He provided us with the dedication, the discipline that we needed to be dedicated. And we do know you're proud, Dad. We already talked about the late to the own funeral, so I won't go back into that. He always was a protector. I remember one time especially, I forget how old I was, we were coming back from a vacation. We stopped at a gas station. The bathrooms of the gas station weren't working. They were having construction done, and there were two porta potties outside. Mom and Dad both went in first, and I sat on the curb between the two porta potties. A man came up to me and started talking to me. Felt like he was about to snatch me, and so did Dad. Dad comes out, hand in his pocket, knife in hand, ready to fight. Ended up, we all got back into the car. The gentleman ended up selling him candy. Mom and Dad wouldn't let me have it until they checked it. Even up until his last day on Earth, he was trying to protect us. There was a secret that I kept my entire life. I got so angry one night, and I blurted it out. After that, he wanted nothing but to find the person that hurt me. Even 20, 30 years later, he still wanted to protect me from something that happened when I was a child. That's what he was. He was our protector. I get the love of animals from him, yes. The raccoons, possum, the baby deer, everything. Even baby bunnies, baby birds, anything that was hurt, I knew I could bring home because Dad would say it was okay. And we'd help bring it back to life and set it free. That's all I've got.
Thank you for coming up. And Shing, I know how difficult it can be just to stand up in front of people and talk just in any situation, but especially at a time like this when you're processing such powerful emotions and memories. So thank you. Thank you for doing that. You know, Ed loved music, and there is a song that the family selected, which I think beautifully captures Ed. It's called Simple Man by Lynyrd Skynyrd. And so let's listen then to this song, and as we reflect upon his life, and give thanks for him, and give thanks for the legacy of love and devotion that he leaves. You know, we've just listened to a song called Simple Man about the pursuit of simple things in life, whether it's about perspective on things, simple living, and of course, love. Love for others, a love for family, and the love of God. And the supremacy of love, that is, the importance of love above all else, is really one of the simplest concepts in life. But the actual pursuit and faithful expression of love, well, that's not always so simple, is it? It's simple to know about love, but it's not always so simple to actually love. Now, I've ministered to many individuals and families over the years as they were grieving the loss of a loved one. But without a doubt, the most important theme that emerges nearly every time is love. It's their love for that person who has passed, or that person's love for his or her family and friends. Sadly, sometimes it is the absence of love that is so stark and evident, and in that way proves the point of the supremacy of love. Now, when I met with Ed's family, they told me of some scripture passages which had always been very meaningful to Ed. They mentioned 1 Corinthians 13, John 3:16, and Revelation 3:20. And in just a moment, we're going to take a look at those verses which meant so much to Ed. But first, let me ask you this. Given what we have just been considering, what theme do you suppose emerges powerfully in those passages? In one word, it's love. Love, the supremacy of love. Whether it is love for one another, God's love for us, or our love for God. And the first passage they told me about is 1 Corinthians 13. And here in this passage, Paul is writing to a church that had problems. They had a lot of problems. But the heart of the problem, though, was that they had lost sight of what real love is and what real love does. So in correcting them, he gave them and us some of the most beautiful and profound words which have ever been written on the subject of love. And Paul says, "If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor, and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but it rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. It never loses faith. It is always hopeful, and it endures through every circumstance. prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless. But love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete. And even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. And now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. And all that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. These three things will last forever, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. You see, that is true love. Powerful, powerful description of what true love is, that true love isn't so much a feeling. It's not that it doesn't involve feelings. It does, it can. But it shows itself in our actions and what we do. Putting others before ourselves, that's the essence of love. But the greatest expression of love ever given was God's love for this world, his love for people, his love for you, his love for me. And in perhaps the best known Bible verse of all, John 3:16, we are told this: "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." And the text goes on to tell us, God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. It's God's love expressed through Christ, and Christ's love, his death on the cross, his resurrection from the grave, conquering our greatest enemy, death. This is the greatest example of love ever given. God's love for us, that we might have eternal life through Christ. So there's our love for others, God's love for us. But then there's our love for God, that God calls us, even as he has loved us first, he calls us to know him and to love him. But the reality is sometimes for many different reasons, we can sometimes grow cold and indifferent to the love of God for us. And so it is in Revelation 3, 19 through 21, where here Christ calls out, inviting us to come back into that rich relationship they once had with him, to come back to that. And he says to them, I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we'll share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. So our love for others, God's love for us, our love for God. This is the supremacy of love, the greatness of love above all else. Scriptures tell us that there's a time for everything, that there's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to rejoice and a time to grieve. And so it is at times like this that we may have many different thoughts and feelings, many different questions. But there's a book in the Bible that chronicles a man's search. It's a questioning journey through life as he tries to understand everything that has been done under the sun, as he phrases it. And this book, Ecclesiastes, takes us on this man's journey as he wrestles with these great questions and feelings in life. See, he was burdened by those things. But in the end, he came to see that there was a higher wisdom far above his own, which he could never fully grasp, no matter how hard he tried. The text says in Ecclesiastes 3, God has planted eternity in the human heart. That is, we know that there's more to life than the here and the now, and yet we can't possibly fathom or understand everything that God has done. And so we must simply do the best we can, which is to enjoy the good gifts that God has given and to entrust ourselves to him in the end, knowing that we'll never fully understand things here and now. And so it is at times like these that our hearts grieve, that we're sorrowful for our grievous loss. You know, there's a cliche, life is short. And I remember as a child, my mother saying to me, Danny, life is going to go by much faster than you think. And of course, when you're a kid, that doesn't make that sense much sense to you. And then you start getting a little older and start to understand. Remember, I was told that. My mom told me how fast life was going to go by. That was at the time when you were a little kid and summer was forever, right? Remember, that was like always one of my favorite days of the year as a kid was what? The last day of school. Why? Because it was always a half a day, right? You'd go in just a few hours, and then you get dismissed, and you were so excited. You couldn't wait for that final bell to ring, because then when you got out, you had the whole summer ahead of you. What is the summer now? Pretty soon the years start going by like the seasons used to. And then 2, 3, 4, 5 years go by in what used to be one. And then all of a sudden, life is moving by in decades. So life is short. And none of us knows when our time on this earth will be through. So we must endeavor to make the most of our lives, make the most of our time. And we make the most of our time by using our gifts and abilities to the fullest. To serve people, the way Ed did. To use the abilities he had to serve people. To make their life better. To love people. The way Ed loved his family. To love God, to receive the love of God, and to love God. These are the ways that we can make the most of our brief time. So let's make the most of our lives then by loving one another, fulfilling the purposes for which we were made. This is also a time then when we can come together as family and friends and support one another, encourage one another, comfort one another, love one another. I want to conclude then by sharing a couple of promises in Scripture which have always brought great peace and comfort to me whenever I'm grieving or feeling anxious. First is, especially at times of death, when Jesus was speaking to a woman who was grieving over the death of her brother. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life, and anyone who believes in me will live even after dying, and everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Second one then is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, where the prophet Isaiah says of the Lord, he says, you, Lord, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you, that we're invited to take up all of our care and our concern, our burden, to cast it upon him because he cares for us, to focus our minds upon him, the great shepherd of Psalm 23, and find in him our peace. So it is my hope and my prayer that you will find peace and comfort in your memories of Ed. May you find peace and comfort in the love of family and friends. But most of all, then, may you find peace in the almighty, everlasting arms of God. I'd like to close our service then in prayer. First, by praying the Lord's Prayer that was important to Ed, that he loved to pray this, especially at mealtimes, other times. But here Jesus taught us how to pray in saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Eternal God, you are the consolation and the support of all who trust in you. I pray that you would grant your sustaining strength to our grieving hearts. And I ask that your powerful Holy Spirit, the Comforter, would give us peace. I ask that you would give Ed's family the peace that surpasses human understanding. We thank you for his life. May we all be comforted by our memories of him, by the love of family and friends, and by the hope of eternal life which is found in Christ. I pray that you will be gracious to us today and all the days of our lives. And I ask all of these things in the name of our Savior. Amen. Well, on behalf of Ed's family, I want to thank all of you for coming today, honoring his life with your presence here. Thank you for your sympathies and your expressions of support. And you are invited now to a reception, which will be held at Horizontals on Hancock Drive here in Wonder Lake. And this now concludes our service.